Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast, episode 159, as we roll into a month birthday on the regular season. It seems like longer than that, doesn't it, Blake?
Yeah, no, I'm just happy that we're, you know, back to an 82-game season.
Me too.
Back to normal, playing against every team. And
it's been nice.
Even though my team is one of the worst in the league, still nice to watch, I guess.
Yeah, there's been some good games this year. We had last week off. I was on a family vacation to Florida back from that. It was good. It was good. The weather was good. I mean, it was never got above 80. One night we're leaving Epcot, it was 56 degrees. It was freaking cold. I actually had shorts and a sweatshirt on. It was cold. But you know what? All in all, most days were like mid-70s, no wind. Beautiful. It was really nice. A good little getaway. But also good to be back. Back to some normalcy, too. So, all in all, good. Real good.
Yeah, we're heading down to Wenatchee on Thursday.
Yeah, you were saying that.
We got
four games in 5 days?
Four games in 5 days. Yeah, it's going to be a tough trip. So, be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, it's fun. Your team's off to a good start. So, all is good there. And, yeah. I had to laugh. I actually almost clipped it into the show, and I may do it for our next show, Blake. But you had a couple of goal calls that I was cracking up on. You got pretty fired up last week when you scored a couple of goals, and I was going to insert them into the show.
Well, yeah, so. It was crazy. It was we were down 3-2 going in the third on Friday night, and midway through the third period, we tied the game. It was end-to-end dash by our defenseman just on the power play. Just crazy goal. And then there's a fight.
Yeah, I saw the fight.
10 seconds after our tying goal, and then 11 seconds after the fight, Tassi scored to go up 4-3. So in the span of like 3.5 minutes of real time, there was two goals and a fight. It was just pandemonium. The place went crazy, and we went on to win 6-3, but yeah, it was.
We might have to clip that into the show.
Events for sure.
We might have to clip that into the show.
We have to.
Hockey Fights Cancer is this month. You know, cancer affects so many. Make sure you get on over to hockeyfightscancer.com and see if you can't throw a few bucks their way as the National Hockey League and the hockey world actually pulls together this month to help fight cancer. Saturday night, the Islanders opened up their new arena, the UBS Arena, against the Calgary Flames. I can count them on one hand this year, but there's been a few games this year where I've been like, oh, this is like playoff atmosphere. But that arena was rocking on Saturday night, and it was as close to a playoff atmosphere as I've seen since fans were allowed back. Great hockey game, and man, was it just fun. It was fun.
Yeah, other than the Islander fans saying that Gary Bettman should get fired for having them start the season on a 13-game road trip, like, yeah, it's totally Gary Bettman's fault that your building wasn't ready. So, yeah, that's totally Gary Bettman's fault, totally.
I didn't even hear that.
But some of the shit that I'm reading on Twitter about this, I'm like, grow up.
Oh, that's just Twitter as a whole needs to grow up. You know, I thought the new arena looked cool. I mean, obviously just on TV is all I've seen, but I was at the old NASA Coliseum, and I've been to quite a few NHL arenas, and I liked NASA for a couple of reasons. You were on top of the ice. It was a close in tight. It was not the cleanest arena I had been to. It was probably the least frills. Everything would seem to be made out of concrete. It was like a bunker. But it was loud, and it was a good arena to watch hockey in. And when they built this new arena, they built the ceiling low so that it would hold that sound, and they're, you know, kind of, it looked like they were built up. The bleachers look pretty steep, so you're going to be on top of the game, and I don't know. It just,
well, yeah, it was a long time overdue, though. I mean,
for sure, because
anything to get them out of Brooklyn, and that was it was a disaster for sure.
Did you know that 50 years ago, on October 7th, 1972, the Atlanta Flames defeated the Islanders in the first ever game at Nassau Coliseum? And then the Flames play the first game at the new one. What? And they're not even in the same conference. Never, you know, it's just like weird that that would be the team.
Yeah, that is weird.
I did laugh during the national anthem. It was hilarious. I don't know if you were probably doing your game. You weren't watching. The Islanders lined up on the blue line for the national anthem, facing the wrong direction. They didn't know where the flag was. Cause
my God.
Players were like looking around, and then they freaking turned around because the flag was behind them. That was funny. I was laughing.
Clowns.
I was watching Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday night. We had gotten home late Thursday night, so Friday and Saturday night, I pretty much packed her in on the couch and watched hockey. And Friday night, I watched the Canucks, and on Saturday night, I watched the Flames. And, you know, they were talking during the panel was talking after a second or third period, I don't remember which one, about Demko kicking the net off and getting a penalty. Did you happen to see that play?
I really don't want to talk about that.
No, I just want your take.
The most ridiculous penalty I've ever seen.
Okay, BX, I thought it was ridiculous. I did too. I think the linesman just screwed up putting the net back on, is what I think happened. Before the
play
even happened.
First of all, there was a problem with it in the second period, literally the period before.
So why don't they call
Leonard pushed it off way worse than Demko, and no penalty. They just put it back on, fixed it. Demko goes down in that position probably 50, 60 times a game. And it's not like he pushed it off. It's not like he just went down to hug the post, cover the left post. And you're going to call that in a 4-4 game with 10 minutes left in the third? And then they score on the power play, and then we lose the game. Nice. Tough. It is what it is. Canucks suck. Refs suck. Everything sucks.
Another controversial play that happened. And this is the second part of the discussion on the panel. And I watched this one, and I watched it multiple times. What was your take on the Subban Blaze incident that ends the season of Sammy Blaze?
I don't think Subban did anything wrong. It's just an unfortunate injury. His skate just got caught in a rut, looked like, and his knee just kind of buckled the one way. I mean, Subban's had a reputation of slew foots this year, but I mean, you look at multiple angles, and like, I didn't think that Subban kicked his leg out or anything, but I mean,
it sucks.
I like Sammy Blay. He's a good player.
He's awesome. He's awesome.
It's unfortunate.
I saw, you know, I've been a huge critic of Subban this year because some of his slew foots this year have been outrageous, and I kind of gave him a pass on this one. And that's kind of crazy since he did hit him.
Just like buckled.
He did hit him.
Yeah, for sure.
But I still think there was...
He didn't kick his skate, though.
I don't think so. I don't think so. But the whole panel on Hockey Night in Canada seemed to think it was a slew foot and that the league needs to crack down on Subban on this. I don't know. I know he's been...
They've already fined him 3 times.
Yeah, but okay, when we talked about this in a previous show, where the hell is the suspension for Subban? Anybody else in the league, they're not getting fined, they're getting suspended. Lucic does that to Subban, what happened earlier this year. Lucic is suspended 2 games. He's not getting fined. Subban does it to Lucic, $5,000. I'm serious. Yeah. Am I wrong?
I don't know.
Oh, Blake, you know I'm not wrong on that.
Slew footing is such a judgment call, though. Like, I don't know.
It's so obvious sometimes.
Yeah, no, for sure. But sometimes, people could say, "Oh, it's a slew foot," and then the league could say, "Oh, they just client skates."
He literally stuck his leg behind him.
There's a lot of gray area, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know, Blake. I don't know. I'm not with you on that one. Sleuthfoot's pretty cut and dried. Today on the show, we are going to talk about the importance of special teams. We'll talk about who Blake and I think are the hottest lines in the National Hockey League this year. And we'll go around the league and talk about Murray, Bednar, Penn Sale, Senators shutdown, and some Hall of Famers here on the Debate Hockey Podcast. All right, Blake, you got me thinking this week about special teams. I don't remember what day it was. I don't remember what the hell game you were watching or I was watching, but we were both watching hockey, and you said to me in a text, well, I mean, they've got the worst penalty kill in the league by a mile. So I started looking, and you were talking about the Canucks because we were complaining about our teams. Started to look at
you
it.
You don't got much to complain about.
So I've been completely honest, haven't I? I'm humble about the success thus far, right? Right? Yep,
Calgary for the cup. Let's go, baby.
I've not even been close to even saying that. There is 60-some games remaining. Lots can happen.
Yep.
But let's talk about this. Because then I thought, okay, well, how many of the top 10 in the power play are in the playoffs and how many aren't? How many in the 10 worst teams in the power play are in the playoffs? And the same for penalty kill and so forth. So I pulled up the top 10s, and these were as of Saturday night, just to kind of go through them. And
I have to guess them?
No, I'm not making you guess shit. Do you want to guess? It may be fun.
Take a stab at it.
Let's do it. Stop. Wait, hang on a second. Let's talk power play. I know you're going to get the first one right. If you don't get the first one right, Blake, you might get kicked off the show. Who has the best power play in the league?
I'll go out on a limb and say it's either Edmonton or Tampa Bay.
Oh, it's Edmonton by a mile. They're clicking at 40.8%.
Yeah, we're a lot of hockey games.
Okay. And Edmonton is a playoff team. The second, can you name the number two? You said Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay isn't in the top 10, Blake, on the power play.
Yeah, no, I'm just talking about talent-wise.
Who's this? I was a little surprised at the second.
I'll go Carolina or Florida.
Carolina's 9. Florida, believe it or not, they have the highest goals for in the league, and they're not in the top 10. Number two is St. Louis at 29.6, another playoff team.
Well, that's quite the drop-off. Holy
shit. Isn't that crazy? 11%. Number three is the Dallas Stars at 26.8, which that surprises me. That's a non-playoff team. Okay? Anaheim is fourth at 26.8. I would have never guessed.
That don't surprise me.
Well, it doesn't surprise me. But would we have ever guessed that at the beginning of the year? No.
I might have said, like, they're talented.
I had Anaheim being the surprise team. I had them finishing fourth or fifth in the Pacific. Nashville's 5. Calgary is 6.
Roman Josi.
Calgary's 6. Toronto is 7th. Boston's 8th. Mm-hmm. Carolina's 9th. And Columbus 10th. So as of Saturday night, 7 of the teams in the top 10 in the power play are playoff teams.
Yeah.
So how does that correlate to the 10 worst? Can you name the worst power play in the National Hockey League?
It's got to be Arizona, Buffalo, or Vancouver.
No.
None of those three.
Arizona's in the worst 10. Vancouver's in the worst 10. Who do you say? Arizona who?
Buffalo and Vancouver.
Buffalo's not in the worst 10.
So Ottawa?
The worst power play in the National Hockey League is the Pittsburgh Penguins at 11.5%.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Never would have guessed that.
New York Islanders.
Well, I mean, they've had a lot of their stars missing.
They have. New York Islanders are the next worst at 13.2. Vegas Golden Knights, 13.5. Montreal, 13.6.
Yeah, I can't figure that one out.
Vegas? They can't score, man. It's blowing my mind.
No, I know. I think I saw a tweet that they're like 5 for their last 110 on the power play.
Crazy.
Which is like ridiculous.
That's crazy. New Jersey's the fifth worst at 14.9. Seattle holds the next spot at 15.4. Philly, the next spot at 15.4. Arizona, 15.6. Detroit is the eighth worst power play at 16.4. LA is the ninth worst power play at 16.7. And Vancouver is the 10th worst at 15.4. So how many of those teams in the 10 worst are in the power plays? 3. So it's 7-3 for the best and 7-3 for the worst. Interesting correlation there. Switching over to penalty kills. Do you know what team has the best penalty kill in the National Hockey League?
Well, I'm going to go on a limb and say it's not the Vancouver Canucks.
No, we'll get to that, won't we?
Oh, the best penalty kill. I'm going to say...
The top three shock the hell out of me.
Okay, so I got to go off the board here.
It's off the board. It's as off... Okay, let me give you a hint.
Off the board?
Let me give you a hint. It's as off of the board as the worst power play.
Vegas?
Pittsburgh has the best penalty kill. 89.1. They have the worst power play,
and the best penalty kill.
Well, I guess that's not how you design it, but I was always told, Blake.
That's definitely not how you draw her up.
I was always told that if you should take your penalty kill percentage and your power play percentage, add them together, and you want to be over 100.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
and they're at 100 right now.
I know.
11 and 89.
Yep. San Jose, 88.9. And here's a real shocker on the penalty kill. Edmonton is the third best penalty kill at 88.2.
That don't surprise me.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Because
they got a lot of good role players that kill, like Hyman and Nugent Hopkins.
Yeah. Because a lot of your kill is
goalies have been good. Like Draisaitl and...
Mike Smith's out now.
No, Koskinen and Stuart Skinner have been really good.
Yeah.
They've stepped up.
Well, they're going to have to keep stepping
because
Smith is out. Fourth best, 88% is the Toronto Maple Leafs. Fifth is Carolina. Sixth is Calgary. Seventh is Anaheim. Eighth is Tampa. Ninth is Chicago. That surprised me a little bit. 86% kill. And Washington at 10th at 83.7. I looked at that one. Of the top 10 in the penalty kill, 7 of them are playoff teams and 3 of them aren't. Which is crazy that we're getting the same number for everything. Penalty kills the worst. Can you name the worst penalty kill in the league, Blake?
Oh, Vancouver's 31. Probably
32,
Seattle.
Dude. They're 32.
Sorry. Fuck. 32. Whoops. Forgot about Seattle.
60.3.
Vancouver.
60.3, Blake. Think about that.
Yeah, you add their penalty kill and power play.
You're hitting like
and it's
74.
75%. Really good. Really good. Like, you're going to win a lot of games with that special teams for sure.
Oh, boy. This one surprised me. Winnipeg is the second worst penalty kill, 63.8. That's bad. Arizona, the third worst, 66.1. Then it goes on up the board. Montreal, Ottawa, Dallas, LA, New Jersey, Seattle, the New York Rangers at 78, and the Detroit Red Wings at 78.3. Playoff teams here, three of the worst 10 are in the playoffs, seven of them are non-playoff teams. So it's 7-3 across the board in the 10s for special teams. And, you know, you look at this and I can, you know, you relate best to Vancouver and the times, and you remember back when Vancouver was a strong team. It's like your special teams were always clicking. And now Calgary having a pretty good year this year. I get a little bit more excited when we get a power play because I actually feel like we have a chance to score. Where last year,
back in the day when we had like the Twins and Ryan Kessler and Sammy Salo, we got a power play. I'm like, all right.
You know, yeah, it's like game on.
Scoring on this power play. Even 2 years ago, we had the third best power play.
I know.
And Pedersen was ripping it from the left side, and Besser was lighting it up, and now it's just like same core.
So what do you think changes that? And, you know, because Calgary really isn't a whole lot different. I mean, last year, our power play hasn't changed at all from last year, and we couldn't score to save our life last year. And this year, it seems like the puck's going in on our
It's just about execution. It's just about execution. That's all it is. I mean, it's guys being less passive and shooting more pucks on net and
confident, aggressive. I mean,
the Canucks brought in Chase on to be the savior, and he hasn't done shit on the
You park. Know, I always loved him. He was in Calgary for a while, and he was in Edmonton. And when he was in Edmonton, I fucking hated that guy. Like, he was hard to play against.
Well, yeah. I mean, he just planted himself in front of the net. When you got players like McDavid and Draisaitl on the wing, he's going to find your stick.
Yeah, true.
Canucks don't have those players, man.
Did you see that? I'm going to bring this up because I just got it.
Work.
I got to get your take on this because I saw this the other night. This is a little off subject, but that's all right. What the hell was Connor Garland doing last night? All hunched over. When the Canucks were down a goal with like a minute to go, they had a goalie pulled. And Connor Garland looks like a little elf in the corner of the crease, like all bent down. He's got it like he's playing mini hockey. What the fuck is he doing?
Tied him behind the post, man. Leave him alone.
I don't know. He's been hiding all year. What's going on there? Did you not just shake your head when you saw that?
I honestly didn't even notice it. I was more focused on like fucking Miller and Pedersen and Hughes just passing back and forth 20 times. didn't even really notice it until I saw it on Twitter.
And did you laugh when you saw it?
Six on four. You would think you can just throw some shit on that. No.
No, he just kept passing it out of the perimeter. I kept watching him like, well, someone's going to have to shoot here. You can't score. Like, you're out in the perimeter just passing, looking. I'm like, what the fuck? And then I saw the thing on Twitter of Connor Garland, like a little elf in the corner. I thought, yeah, that sums up everything, doesn't it? You had to laugh when you saw that. You had to.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I was still like, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Top lines in the league this year. I started to look at this and I was just like, it's harder than I thought to kind of come up with who I feel are the top lines. I don't know how you can't say, you know, the Hyman, McDavid, Puljujarvi, I guess it's been Draisaitl, McDavid, Puljujarvi lately.
Hyman, Yamamoto, and Ryan Agent Hopkins.
Yeah. I mean, that line's been really good. A line I really like.
Marchand, Bergeron, Pasternak.
Yeah, that one came to mind. The Verhaeg, Barkov, Duclair.
Yep.
Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Wilson, you can't ever forget that line. They've got 11 or plus 11 on ice goals for. Calgary, Gaudreau, Lindholm, Tkachuk, do you know that they have yet to be on the ice when a goal was scored 5-on-5?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's unreal.
Well, Mangiapane's been in the Rocket, so
he's not even on that line.
He's on the second line.
He's on the
Monahan, right?
No, he's on the third line. Well, no, he's been up. He's been playing on the second lately because let me look at my thing here. Who'd they have last night?
What's going on with Blake Coleman?
What do you mean?
He has like fucking 4 points.
It's what we expected, isn't it? Didn't we talk about that before the season started?
For 6 mil?
I did told you right away I didn't like the contract.
I don't know.
Did I not say that?
You gotta be getting more than 4 points.
Did I not say that, though? It's exactly what I
expected. Louis Erickson on our hands there.
No, he's been effective. He's been on a line with Backlund and Mangiapane. And Coleman, yeah, he's not scoring a bunch, but he's been a super integral part of Majapani's success. Super, super integral part of it. I'm not bitching about Coleman at all. Quite honestly, how do you bitch about any of your players when you're in first place?
Can't.
You know what I mean? Like,
no complaints.
Some people in Calgary are freaking out about Monahan. It's like, well, Jesus, he was like this last year. Like, what do you think? He's just going to, like, magically just.
Funny, though. Contract year for old Johnny, and he's woo, going nuts at the point.
Isn't that crazy? He freaking laid out Eric Hallo last night. I couldn't believe it. He's hitting.
Contract year, everything's on the table for Johnny this year. He's got to get paid again.
Is that not just pathetically gross? You know what I would do
it
if
happens
I,
all the time.
You know what I would do if I was Bradtree Living? I'd lowball him.
Well, Bradtree Living is going to get fired if they don't have any success this year. So
I wouldn't give Gaudreau a big contract because if he's only going to do this in contract years, he can go suck for somebody else. Then
he's going to Philly or New Jersey.
I know. I've always said that. But I don't care. Yeah. Let's just let him play out his year this year and have a good year. It's fine. We can't afford him and Tkachuk and all. You got all these guys. It's like, well, we can't afford all these guys anyways. Just like your team can't afford all their guys. Now, someone's going to have to go on. If he played like this all the time, I'd be like, yeah, we got to figure a way to keep him. But he doesn't play like this all the time. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the lines in Toronto? They've been juggled a little bit, so it's hard to nail down an exact line.
Yeah, no, they're getting really good goaltending from Jack Campbell. He's been a stud this year. But yeah, their lines, I mean, they got Marner with Matthews and Bunting, and you got Tavares and Nylander and
There was for a while.
Who plays in that second line?
It was Kerfoot, Tavares, and Marner for a while.
Yeah, Kerfoot. Yeah.
You know, it's two young lines that I've been watching a lot this year that I think are good and fun to watch is Tkachuk, Batherson, and Norris. And then in Detroit, Bertuzzi, yeah. Larkin, and Raymond are a great line. That's a great line.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fun that
when they don't go to Canada, really good line. Bertuzzi can't come to Canada. He's not vaccinated.
Lighten up. And that's not something to lighten up about because Canada needs to figure out the rules because the vaccine obviously doesn't work. But
okay.
Who else? You know, we always talk about Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, and Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Wilson's going to make Team Canada?
Fuck no.
Those people talking about it.
Absolutely not. No shot. There's a better chance of Zach Hyman making Team Canada.
How about Andrew Mangiapane?
He's making the case. Might be that extra forward. I don't know.
I don't either. I don't know what
we did. We did this at work the other day. All three of us picked our teams. So that was pretty. That was pretty interesting.
It's kind of fun to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Yep.
All right, Blake, let's go around the league, talk about some different news. Bob Murray resigns as general manager in Anaheim. Not a lot of details out on this, and it originally was reported that there was an investigation of team conducts and professional conduct, and then all of a sudden...
Well, he checked into an alcohol program, did he not?
Yeah, he did. Resignation came quick, and boom, he's out.
Kind of like that Dallas Stars coach. What is his name?
Gosh, how quickly can we forget about him, huh? What was his name?
Oh, it's John Hines.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
It wasn't John
Hines. I'm pretty sure he's in New Jersey as assistant coach.
No, it wasn't.
Dallas Stars.
It wasn't.
It's Montgomery.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Montgomery. Yeah, crazy.
Jim Montgomery.
God, you know, every time I did see Bob Murray, though, his head was always really red. Did you ever notice that? He looked like he was just going to fucking blow his top all the time.
Who is this?
Bob Murray.
Oh, Murray.
Remember, yeah. You know, he filled in behind the bench, you know? Holy shit, he always looked like his head was going to blow. I wish him the best, and I'm sure Anaheim will, it will not be a quick search in Anaheim for that position. Colorado Avalanche award Jared Bednar a 2-year extension. And I read this, and I don't know that I wasn't really surprised, but then I thought, how horrible timing is this? What if this team... Okay, think about this, Blake. What if this team, who's uber talented, doesn't get their feet underneath them this year and doesn't make the playoffs?
They're 8-5.
I know.
And they have three games at hand on games at hand on everybody else.
What if they struggle?
They'll be just fine.
I'm sure they will, but I'm just saying, what happens if they struggle? Why now? Why now?
Yeah, to give him some confidence that he knows he's not going to be a lame duck coach.
Well, they did that to Travis Green too, and now they want to crucify him in Vancouver.
Oh my God! No,
what's the difference?
Different.
Why? Explain to me.
Different.
Why?
Because Colorado's a way better team than Vancouver, Brad. That's why.
No, but they just gave Green an extension, didn't they? Beginning of the year.
Yep.
But now they want him gone.
Because the team sucks. And what happens when your team sucks? The blame goes on the coach, Brad.
But that's not...
All the time. It's not right, so but that's what happens.
So do you think...
It's easier to fire a coach than trade a player, and that's just the reality.
Totally agree. But do you think right now, let's say Travis Green gets his walking papers tomorrow. Do you think Vancouver's better next week?
I don't have an answer for that. Probably not.
I don't think so either, because I don't think Travis Green's a bad coach. I don't.
But you need to bring in, I think it's time to bring in a veteran coach. A coach that has lots of experience in the NHL, because sure, like Willie Desjardins, no head coach experience. Travis Green, no head coach experience in the NHL. Like, okay, both those routes haven't worked. Let's go and get a veteran guy.
So who would you want? Like, who would make you go, okay.
I wouldn't mind Quinn, the Rangers' old coach.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind him. Their stars seem to play pretty well under him. Let's see. I wouldn't mind Bruce Boudreaux. I wouldn't mind that. I don't know. It's really like...
John Tortorella?
Yeah. That sure worked out pretty well.
I just threw it out there because you know he's available.
What about Bob Hartley?
I thought Bob Hartley was a great coach. But I don't think Bob Hartley will coach again in the NHL.
Where is he, in Latvia still?
Because, I don't know, you hear all these things now with the extensive background checks and stuff. I don't think he gets hired again. I just heard some things.
That's fair.
But if you want to go down that slippery road, does Tortorella, I mean, Babcock, we'll never see him again. I mean, like, seriously, like, if you want to go down that rabbit hole now, I think teams are going to be so freaking scared to hire GMs and coaches now that they're going to be looking for people out of the freaking, straight out of the, you know, nuns and stuff to coach. Cause I don't understand. I mean, I just think that it's going to be such a slippery slope right now. Hopefully that goes away and we get some normalcy on that. But I mean, it's a scary thing right now. I don't know. If I was a Vancouver fan, I don't know if I'd want Travis Green gone. And if that was the decision that he made, I don't know who I'd really want. Probably Bruce Boudreau.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know. I don't know who I'd want. I think it sucks because I don't think this is Travis Green's fault.
Obviously, he's not getting the most out of his players, and that's what it comes down to.
No, I don't disagree with that.
There's obviously a disconnect somewhere along the way.
Pittsburgh Penguins look to be sold to Fenway Sports Ownership Group, who owns the Boston Red Sox. Did you head shaker, huh?
I mean, from a business standpoint, it's a pretty smart idea. I mean, the Pittsburgh Penguins have been good for a long time, right? So you're definitely, if you're looking to make some money, it's not a bad idea. I don't know. It's just a little odd that a MLB team owns an NHL team, though.
And one from Boston.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, you would think, like, yeah.
Well, I heard that Fenway Sports Entertainment is launching, like, an app for video viewing, and they want to try to co-op a bunch of teams for exclusive viewing, which I don't know how you could do that with the NHL rights and stuff. I don't know how that all would work, but I know that was something. And one of the other things that came out with, if Pittsburgh gets sold and Lemieux's not part of it, does that change the futures of Crosby and Malkin? Because the talk is that those guys have been untouchable.
Crosby, no. Malkin,
probably.
Well, I don't think Malkin's coming back next year.
I would agree.
Like he's a UFA next year. I think they move on from him and re-sign Sid. I don't know.
Yeah, no.
They need a goalie, so use Malkin's money to bring back Letang and bring back and get a goalie in there, and I think they'll be just fine.
Yeah. COVID postpones 3 Ottawa Senators games. I believe they were getting back onto the ice tonight. One of the things, and the only reason.
Yeah, they're playing tonight.
The only reason I brought this up is they had COVID problems up to 10 players. What is the line? San Jose had problems. The Islanders had 6 go down this week. Like, what gets your games postponed, and, like, what does it take? Do you know what I mean? Like, I just started thinking about it. Because like, if you're the Islanders now, aren't you like, hey, well, wait a second.
Right.
We had to play short-staffed. Why aren't they playing short-staffed?
Yeah, I'd be a little pissed with that, like, for sure. It's hard to say. I don't know all information.
I know. I'm with you. It's one of those difficult things. Bergevin, Montreal's GM, was diagnosed with COVID too. And the biggest thing with COVID right now is they're all vaccinated and it's doing no good because there's still outbreaks. What does this do to the Olympics? And I also
heard COVID?
Yeah. And I also heard today that actually the United States and Canada are talking about boycotting anyways.
I haven't heard that, but
I heard that today.
As a hockey fan, that selfishly would suck. Because
I don't think they play. I don't.
Crosby and McDavid and McKinnon play on a line and stuff, but
so here's my fear.
You gotta protect the players for sure.
I don't think they go, and here's why. Because
they're going. I think they're going.
I don't. And if I'm an owner in the NHL, I'm like, no way. Because if they go and they get COVID over there, it's quarantine on when they get back. And all of a sudden, all these teams are without another player for three more weeks as they're quarantining. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's definitely risks, but
I don't want any Flames making Olympic teams. And sad thing, in the whole half of the roster will be on Olympic teams. I don't know.
Markstrom, Gaudreau,
Kachuk,
Lindholm,
Zadorov will play for Russia. They've already said. They said that possibly, I can't believe this one, but they said Valimaki might be playing for Sweden.
Finland.
There's a lot on Calgary. There's a lot on Calgary. I don't know. Hall of Fame induction.
Ducks have a lot, too.
They do, yeah. Both our teams do. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. I mean, I don't know. I would be so much more pro-Olympics if it was in either the States or Canada. I would. I'd be all over. I'd be like, yes, I'm so excited. But I don't know. After the way the last Summer Olympics were when they were over there in the middle of the night, there was no excitement in the U.S. Nobody in the U.S. watched the Summer Olympics this year. Nobody gave two shits about it. And that's what I'm afraid is going to happen this year. And I don't want to screw up an NHL season that's been pretty good so far. Anyways, Hall of Fame inductions. Jarome McGinley headlined five players. Marian Hossa, Kevin Lowe, Doug Wilson, and Canadiens professional national team goalie Kim St. Pierre. And then Ken Holland went in as a builder. This was a group that was supposed to go in last year but was postponed due to the pandemic. And are they not doing a group this year? Are they skipping a year or what?
Yeah, I think it's next year. I think the Twins are first ballot. It's their first year next year. Like, they're among the class that could get in.
Do you think Marian Hossa, is he a Hall of Famer? That one kind of caught me off guard.
A little, I don't know. It's, fuck, he was so dominant in Ottawa and Atlanta, like, and then he kind of bounced around from Chicago to Detroit.
I think he's a great hockey player. I do. I think he's a great hockey player.
I think he's in the Hall of Very Good. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer.
I'm with you. How about Jarome McGinley?
Yeah, Jarome McGinley's a Hall of Famer. Yeah, he's one of my favorite players growing up. He's a good player.
Yeah.
Really good player.
Yeah, I agree.
The true power forward. Not many like him anymore.
No, there really isn't. I mean, he could do 50 everything.
50 goals. Yeah. Rick could release, can fight, can hit. Yeah, do it all.
When you think of Jarome McGinley, what's one play you think of?
Probably his Vinny LeCavier fight in the cup final.
That or the pass to Crosby in the Olympics.
Pass to Crosby. His fight against Ed Jovanovski in 2004 playoffs.
There was a play in the 04 run where the puck got a little ahead of him. He did not score in the breakaway and then ended up tucking it back in. It was just a huge goal. I don't remember which game it was in, but God, I just remember that goal. I remember that goal as just like a never give up goal. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he was a good player. Too bad that he didn't have a little bit more success behind him. Blake, are you ready for three questions?
Let's do it.
It's time for three questions.
All right, fans. It is time for three questions. It's my favorite part of the show, and I think this week, I don't know, maybe Blake will think I'm wrong. I think I got three damn good questions this week. And the listener question is one of my favorites. One of my favorites. In my top three favorite listener questions. Okay, question number one, are you ready, Blake?
Yeah.
with rumblings this week from Quebec that the province is putting more emphasis on producing hockey players, elite level hockey players, the questions were also turned to the possibility of an NHL team returning to Quebec City, with provincial leaders saying they had meetings planned with Bettman, and some people saying that that was just a political maneuver to get votes because people love hockey. But that being said, and with the troubles in Arizona, with is there going to be an arena, is there a chance that the NHL returns to Quebec City sooner rather than later?
Well, I'm not going to say no, because, I mean, that is a possibility for sure. Do I think they go there? No, I don't think they go there. I think you're either going to go like a Kansas City Houston route, one of those two, before they look at, I mean, just the way that Canada's handled the pandemic, I just don't see any professional sports teams coming up north. I mean, that goes for basketball. The NFL is maybe looking at expanding to Toronto, and I don't see that happening anytime soon. But like, it's unfortunate, because I love living in Canada, and I wish there was, you know, more teams up here. But it's like it's tough. I mean, it's the taxes up here are crazy. Like it would just cost a lot of money to put a team in Quebec, and I just don't see it happening.
I love Canada too, and I mean, I live an hour and 10 minutes from the border, and I love going up to Canada, and I love the lifestyle up there, and I love everything about it, and most of my favorite sports teams are Canadian-based, and I would love to see hockey back in Quebec, because I remember the big Boston-Quebec battles and the Montreal-Quebec battles when I was a little kid, and I loved the old Nordiques jersey when I was a kid and everything, and I love everything about having a team back in Quebec. But I agree with you. And we said it when the pandemic got going, and it sucks that that's a factor. And we used to just worry about the dollar being the factor. It's too bad. I agree with you. I think we would see it in Houston's probably the most likely landing spot. But geez, would that be a freaking dream come true to have Quebec City get a team back? Question number two. ESPN Now has Manning cast on Monday Night Football. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I watched an episode. I usually just see the clips on Twitter. I mean, it's different for sure.
Do you think that this is something we see in hockey games in the future?
Who would it be, though? Like, who would the host be?
You could have freaking Ray Bork.
You got to be funny, though. Peyton Manning is incredibly hilarious.
Paul Bissonnette.
I mean, Biz, and he gets his creatures on there. I don't know. I mean, that would be a good guy for that.
I mean, couldn't the guys from Spit and Chicklets
do it? I would hate it.
Funny would that be? They could just morph from that podcast to this. Like, wouldn't that be a dream come true for TNT? Think about that.
Just kick RA out of there, though. I hate RA. He's a loser.
You know what I mean, though?
I don't know. Like, I wouldn't like the Manning cast if it was the only thing. Like, if that was
a supplement. I would be freaking pissed off if my favorite team was playing and they had that as the only cast. No, I don't agree with that. But you know, we were in Florida last week, and I was watching the 49ers against the Rams, and it was just laying in our hotel room, and we just got back from swimming. I was just watching it. Then I flipped over to the Manning cast, and I was just like, I found myself watching it more than I ever thought I would. And my son's like, why aren't we watching the regular game? I'm like, I don't know, because these guys are funny. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I don't know, Jags. I don't know why I'm not watching the regular one. I'm just freaking, I kind of getting a kick out of this, you know? But, all right, question number three. Who is the team most poised to rebound after a slow start? And what team off to a hot start is most likely to regress? Blake pulls up the old standings. Isn't that what you're doing, buddy?
Mm-hmm. Ah. To regress, I mean, the easy answer is probably Anaheim. Fuck, I think they're going to make the playoffs. I don't know.
Do you think Anaheim's going to make the playoffs?
I think so, dude.
So, who do you mean? Oh, they could. So you think it's going to
fuck? They're in third right now.
I know. And who's going to beat them? Is LA, San Jose,
Seattle's dog shit, Vancouver's dog shit, San Jose's dog shit, LA is whatever, and Vegas, we don't know what the hell they're doing.
I know. You're right. Oh, you're right. I mean,
the door is fucking wide open.
I know.
It is as open as the Pacific for third is as open as it's ever been.
I know. I know.
It's wide open.
I think rebound.
I think they're going to make the playoffs. Like to rebound, like a team that's sucking. Like,
you know, who I think it's going to be the New York Islanders.
Yeah, I mean, what are they? 3-8. They're going back home.
5-8.
Pittsburgh, maybe. Pittsburgh. Yeah, 5-8. Sorry. Pittsburgh 7-6-4. Columbus is 10-6-2.
That's going to be a fall. I don't know how Columbus keeps that going.
Yeah. Rangers. I told you at the start of the year.
I don't mind the Rangers. They're hot. Yeah, I don't mind the Rangers.
Rangers are good.
They're a decent hockey team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listener question. From Mark Knoll, St. Cloud, Minnesota. I got this question in the airport Thursday night.
You were just talking to this guy?
Yep. And he asked me a question, and I thought, holy, that's a good question. So I said to him, like, hey, can I use that question on my podcast this week? And he said, yeah. All right. With all the PC correct changes in the world and sensitivity issues we seem to have been facing on a month-to-month basis in professional sports, do you think it is time for the Chicago Blackhawks to completely overhaul their organization, staff, including which they've done, including the nickname and logo?
Fuck, I don't know. Are we going to have to change every fucking racist thing?
Your response is the exact same as mine. I hope not. But now we're seeing the Cleveland Indians get changed to the Cleveland Guardians. Which they're getting sued over, by the way.
I mean, the Cleveland Indians is like, that's kind of a fucked up name.
Well, what's the difference between Atlanta Braves?
Now it is.
Okay, Atlanta now Braves.
I mean, okay, but Indians compared to the Braves, it's a lot different.
Why? Why is it derogatory? You're not saying
they go by First Nations now, not Indians, though.
They've always went by First Nations. They were always the Chippewa tribe, or the Sioux tribe.
That's like a slang derogatory term for them.
So is Canucks, Blake.
That's just a thing for Canadians. What do you mean?
That makes it okay.
I know
when you the Minnesota.
Hey, I'd be down for a team. Name and a whole overhaul on our logo, that's for sure.
I'm 100% Norwegian. The Vikings, is that derogatory? Minnesota Vikings?
You're not 100% Norwegian. No, you're not.
Yeah, I am.
100% Norwegian.
My mom and dad's families both are 100% Norwegian. All the way down.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So...
didn't know that.
Think about this. Like, I agree with you. But if there's ever a time to do it, is it not probably now?
It just what, to save their face?
Well, I don't know. I mean...
I don't know.
He brought up the point...
That will never happen.
Do they change it to just Hawks and just have a Hawk logo? I don't know.
Chicago Hawks?
Yeah.
Maybe. But there's also the Atlanta Hawks. You don't really want to copy them.
Oh, because the New York Jets and the Winnipeg Jets is a problem?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
I mean, it would work.
Yeah.
It would work. I hope it hasn't happened, but you know what? I'm afraid it happens in the next 3 or 4 years. I don't want it to happen. God, I like the name. I like all these names. I don't have a problem with it. I'm going to have a hell of a time.
Let's name them the Whitehawks.
Oh, that's not
racist.
Not racist? Why? Why would that? God, you can find something wrong with everything, can't you?
The Brown Hawks, Red Hawks.
Jesus. This world we're living in, man, it is jacked to the max. So, all right, hockey fans, remember that November is Hockey Fights Cancer Month. Get on over there. Please help. There's a link at debatehockey.com to put some money into the pot. Check us out on YouTube at Inside Edge Hockey Media Group. Get on over to Apple Podcasts. Rate, review, subscribe. We're back again next week. After having last week off, it's sure good to be back this week. And we're back next week for another edition of Blake and I arguing and talking hockey. Enjoy this week's hockey action. Let's talk hockey again next week. Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars_Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at debatehockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.